Hello everyone, welcome to edition 228 of the NRF1 podcast, because Norfolk knows Formula 1. This is your F1 podcast straight out of Norfolk, UK, and this is a special edition. We are sat here live, not at the Rush Cutters because it hasn't got televisions. We're actually at the Fat Cat and Canary, just a bit down the road from the Rush Cutters here in the beautiful Norwich. That's not a flight past here. As you may have been able to tell, we are sat in front of the Belgian Grand Prix live build-up down the pub. We are also, of course, going out on Future Radio, and we're going to review the Belgian Grand Prix as it happens. I guess, is that still a review? I'm not sure. Anyway, of course, coming up, lots of stuff to do with that. I am sports journalist Michael Bailey. A very good evening, morning, lunchtime to you all. And I am with the wonderful Perry Hamilton. Hello, Ped.
Hello.
Callum Springer's here. Hello, Callum.
Good afternoon.
And Phil Gray here, who's sorted this all out with your fine beard. Thank you very much.
That's right. Hello, everyone. Again, second time on the pod.
I know. Yeah. Hopefully it won't be, you know, the last again, Phil, unless you do anything really stupid.
Yeah, no, it won't, yeah.
Of course, we've had the end of a ped like that one. We've, of course, had the summer break. That's all done. There's loads that's happened over the summer break, which we're going to get stuck into, of course, as well. But likewise, we've got a Grand Prix that's going to happen right in front of our eyes, Ped. How excited are you? F1 is back, and it's sunny at Spa.
Well, this is it. Not only is F1 back, F1's back with one of the best races of the year. Fantastic track, amazing environment. Real twists and turns on the track, and the storyline's going along with it. So excited, Michael.
Yes, I love it. Now, I was kind of hoping Richard Baxter would be with us, aka hashtag points tour, but it turns out he's busy or something, or he's watching the race. He's watching the race lately.
He's been told he's busy, isn't it?
Yeah. I know, Drew T herself loves Formula 1 and has been on the pod before too. So that means we can't get Rich to do live comms, but we'll probably just keep doing this rambling until the race starts, and then I reckon Ped will love a commentary. I might get Ped to do comms at the race start.
I could be convinced, yeah, probably. Yeah, go on. I'm just amazed, Mike, we've been doing this pod for so many years, and we've thought to do it, but we've never actually pulled our thumbs out and gone, let's actually get together and watch a race and do some stuff in front of a TV. And just kudos to Phil for making it happen.
No, exactly. I think we've watched one race live before, which was the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, when it was Nico. Would it be Lewis who'd win the title? Must have been two years ago. Yeah, season before last, I think. Mine's a blur. But we did that. We didn't actually record a podcast. We all just sat down and watched it. I think we probably still waited until Monday to do a podcast. That's okay. We've got 6 minutes until the race, until lights out, I reckon, so that's all good. Looking absolutely resplendent at Spa. Of course, the summer break has been quite busy. Now, we're going to say we'll be doing another Patreon podcast after this. You can get hold of those podcasts at patreon.com/NRF1 and sign up, and you can listen to those, and we'll talk through some of the wider Formula 1 issues from both the summer break and, of course, what happens at the fallout of this race and what we've missed in terms of practice and qualifying. But there's a couple of things we should tee up before the actual race starts here on E228. Callum, Force India. It's sort of not quite Force India, but it still looks a bit like them, and it's a bit weird.
Yeah, it's like they turned into Braun GP overnight. And yeah, it's quite a surprise really seeing them get third and fourth on the grid with what I've recently discovered is an honorary Norfolkian in one of the cars.
Esteban Ocon used to drive for Comtech in F. I mean, I've sat in a Comtech car, so you know that this is big that Ocon's got. I feel bad that I missed that connection.
Yeah, so he drove for Comtech in Formula Renault in like 2014, I think, when Carlos Sainz was dominating the championship. Of course, they're based on the much esteemed Sluts Hole Lane in Attleborough.
Great shout, Callum, well done. So, and of course, that means Esteban Ocon. Norfolk is on the was on the podium for qualifying. I hate saying that. He was basically qualified P3. Norfolk qualified P3 for the Grand Prix, which is brilliant. So, Force India, of course, racing here, but they've had to scrap all their points. It's effectively a different team, even though it's still called Force India, but with like racing and points added to the title.
And the pink team.
And the pink team.
Yeah. It's a ridiculously long name, but they'll get there. I hope the commentators actually use their full name when they refer to them, because that'll take a lap to do it, but it'll be fine.
I would imagine that their editors have gone, look, there are going to be a lot of people who don't give a just call them Force India and hopefully no one will notice, which would be good. Can I just get something though? Callum, you posted on the NRF1 Twitter feed about an exchange between Vettel and Ocon. Where did that exchange happen and what was it?
So after qualifying, because obviously they were second and third, so then they were effectively waiting for Hamilton, I think. So in Parc Fermé they were having a chat, I think unwittingly, in front of the cameras, wherein I think Vettel asked him where he would be next year or whether or not he was still going to be with Force India next year. Of course he said no. And upon inquiring about who had gotten the other seat, he said, guess who? The one that bought it. Obviously meaning Lance Stroll. So the fallout from which is that seemingly Ocon provisionally doesn't have a seat. I think over the weekend Stroll's had it put to him whether or not he's had a seat fitting at Force India. He's not denied it. Ocon has also had the same question put to him about whether he's had a seat fitting at McLaren. He's not denied it. So that means potentially Van Dorn's not got a seat. Or does he? Because apparently he might be going to Sauber in place of Marcus Ericsson. So Ericsson no longer has a seat and Robert Kubica's taking Stroll's place. This could all be in the next two or three races, maybe even for Monza, which is next week.
But then, but following on from that, I believe, I think during in the maybe in the press conference, there was an exchange between Lewis Hamilton and Esteban Ocon as well. And in that sort of, you know, Lewis has since come out and quite lamented this, what he's calling money over merit culture that's taking over Formula One, saying the only, and I think he is coming as close as a driver can come to saying it. We say it a lot. Lance Stroll's only on the Formula One grid because he's got a rich father who can buy him a seat. I don't think anyone here is going to deny that Ocon's a better driver than Stroll. We've seen that consistently. But I think it was Lewis Hamilton said, you know, it's not right. This should be the sport where you have the best drivers in the world on the grid. It should be on merit. Ross Brawn has come out and said, yeah, we need to move back to meritocracy. And I believe if you go back to the last pod I was on, I talked about meritocracy being a very important thing. Not saying that I've got a hotline to Ross Brawn, but you can do the maths yourself on that one.
Changing F1 for the better. We know
we are. That's exactly it. But what was quite interesting was I think Lewis said something along the lines to Ocon of, you know, I really hope that you, you know, if I was your agent, I would be doing everything I can to find you a seat. And Ocon said to him, well, maybe we'll talk afterwards. And I just love this idea that Lewis Hamilton is going to use his, I don't know, position as a multi-time world champion and the highest paid driver on the grid and, you know, global icon. I just really like the idea that Lewis might use that position to try and get more meritocracy into Formula One.
Well, let's be clear, it's exactly what Nico Rosberg is doing since he gave up on Formula One. He's doing it with kart stars, one of which is from Norwich, of his like two kart stars. So, you know, keep that up, Nico.
As well as Robert Kubica.
Robert Kubica, yeah. So he might have a driver. Nico and Lewis could come up against each other in terms of their drivers as managers. Amazing, imagine that. I was thinking about this. By the way, it's just been an advert for a Lego Bugatti. I want that. Someone send us that, please.
It's about 300 quid, mate.
I don't care. What I you know, as I was sitting thinking about Formula One during the summer break, it's not so much, I mean, it's not great that Lance Stroll's dad, what's his first name? Lawrence, thank you, Callum. Lawrence Stroll, Larry, has bought the team. That's not ideal. It's perhaps even worse that Lance is therefore just going to have a team bought for him that he can drive for. But maybe the worst bit is, who in God's name wants that other seat? Because if you start beating Lance, they'll probably just bin you out. It's like, stop making my son look bad, you're and so why would you even want that seat?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be difficult for Sergio. I think it's pretty obvious that it's going to be him in that other seat. But let's not forget, paid drivers isn't a new thing in Formula 1. It's been going on for years. I mean, Niki Lauda entered the sport as a paid driver. So did Michael Schumacher. I know they're two exceptional drivers who would have made it in any case. But it's not a new thing. It's part of the sport that some teams need people to help fund them. That team of Max fans looks amazing.
We should just say, great point, Phil. I'm sure we'll get to come back to it as well. But yeah. The guys are just going on the formation lap. They've just been past the Max. Have they given it a stand a name this year?
The Verstanden.
No, it doesn't work. Just pink, orange flares going off. There's so many of them. Grandstappen. The Max Grandstappen. Thank you, Ped. Top work. Love that. The Max Grandstappen.
Our work here is done.
It just looks phenomenal. And to be honest, it looks like most of the crowd is in orange and most of them have orange flares. I bet there are no orange flares left in Belgium. Worth pointing out that Max was born in Belgium. I think Callum's nodding, so that's always good.
That's a fairly well-known fact.
I've had two kids and, you know, it's screwed. But yeah, you know, he was born in Belgium, so that's good. Even though he's Dutch. Yeah?
Yeah.
I know, I was just checking with Callum.
Stand-up fact, though, doesn't he? He always tries to avoid talking about the fact that he's born there. He's like, he's a very proud Dutchman, I think.
So I think this is normally the point where Rich is telling us who's on the grid, Ped.
Yeah, so we've got an outstanding... Oh, that's steel trap, mate. Steel trap, it's all up here.
Ped's not interested.
First four people, anyway, is all you're going to really care about going into those first few corners, because that's all your eyes are going to be on. So you've got Hamilton leading the
Ped's
grid.
Gone straight into commentary mode to me.
You know, Hamilton, not the strongest of starts. We've also always seen the Ferrari starting faster from the grid. At this point, watch out for Verstappen. He is a little bit further back. He's behind Raikkonen, which we know can lead to fireworks and some sparks as those two get side by side going into the corners, especially ones and twos. See who's going to be bold and go up the inside as we go up Eau Rouge and swing round the iconic corner. But I think, you know, we're backing them all up now. I'm going to be really interested to see how those Force Indians do. They are not used to being at the sharp end of the spear point when everyone starts to concertina up.
You're right, it's their first ever Grand Prix, so...
They've never driven before. We've got no idea what.
What an amazing debut this is!
This is how they've got the wheels.
It's worth adding that Bottas and Hülkenberg both at the back of the grid, aren't they? After engine penalties.
And Van Dorn and Sainz.
Van Dorn's spin in qualifying, by the way, that was quite hairy, wasn't it? He's had a shocking weekend.
Spin and he held it. Yeah. Perez's spin and he held it was amazing. Out
his flight. Did you see his flight? His takeoff.
Yeah. He knackered his front wing, didn't he? Yeah. Van Dorn's coming up.
Last car up to the grid. We've got a green flag waves at the back. Three, four, five lights. We're waiting. Lights are out.
Away we
go. Not a bad start at all there from Hamilton's got to come across. He's got to cover Vettel, who got away a little bit faster than he did. I think he'll take that into the first corner. We've had some contact. Oh, my goodness. The side ripped off of that McLaren.
Gosh, that's a nasty
good
one.
Lord.
It was Alonso.
Fernando Alonso.
Because we didn't even get to mention that this is officially going to be his last season.
I'm probably going to go out on a limb and say that this might be his last race. Vettel going around the outside.
What a take, Seb. Oh, what a take.
Lewis is going to lose out to a Force India here. Gone, the Force India.
This is phenomenal. Rich, you're missing out.
Stuff.
Rich is sitting at home going, why am I not commentating on this?
The rest car. Safety car out.
Safety car is out.
It's going to have to be.
Wow, what phenomenal action. So Seb is ahead of Lewis after that, and Force Indians were both either side.
I'm going to do a really early prediction here. During the analysis of how this collision happened in the first corner,
is that
lots
science,
of
or?
People are going to be talking about how effective the halo was in stopping that car from rolling over. Whose ever head it was, it nearly rolled over. Watch these replays.
I have to say, it was really reminiscent of Romain Grosjean.
Kimi's got a puncture. Lost a wheel.
Oh, Kimi. Safety car's out. Really reminiscent, I thought, of Romain Grosjean's crash at Spa two, three, four years ago. He went over the top of... Was that Fernando as well? There we go, here's the replay.
Terrible starts for the Red Bulls there. Really bad starts. Big lock-up. That's Halo. That's Halo all day long, saving that driver's life.
So that is Hülkenberg just not slowing down.
Who is it in the Sauber?
And punting Alonso over Charles.
Bounce.
Look at the state of that car, the McLaren.
It's a good job Stoffel van Dorn was so slow off the marker, otherwise he'd have been caught up in that and all.
Phenomenal.
No chance. What a shot. Look at that.
It's all right having these lovely camera angles when everyone's safe. Jeez, I mean, there's some... That is some action. Wow. This is from Charles Leclerc now. There you go. Well done, Ped. Called that. Say again, Callum.
That's completely ruined my predictions.
I can't remember what they were, to be honest.
Basically, everyone seems to have pitted according to the app. Or they're going through the pit. They must be going through the pit, mustn't they?
That's done. That car's done. Sure, you can't change that rear wing.
So Danny Rick is out. Look at the state of that rear wing.
I'm going to say it now. I think Alonso just sacks off the rest of the season after that.
I feel like an overreaction.
Alonso's going to sack off the season after that. You're going to get some moves. Sainz is going to go to McLaren early, and then Danny Rick's going to go to Renault and take his spot. And then they'll call up some junior driver. They'll put Gasly in the Red Bull or something early, and then you'll get a junior driver come up to Toro Rosso for the rest of the season.
It does make the rest of this season so interesting that there are going to be so many drivers moved, because let's be honest, F1 teams hate sharing any sort of information anyway. The best of times come.
Well, apparently Buemi's at this race. Of course, he's a Red Bull driver, so he might be taking one of the seats at the Toro Rosso team.
Is he still officially a Red Bull driver then, even though he's been in Formula E?
Still Red Bull backed, so I think he's got the same arrangement that Webber has. So of course Webber went to Porsche with Red Bull sponsorship. So I think they've basically done the same with Buemi. And I think Jean-Éric Vergne's also at this Grand Prix, so either of those two might be taking that seat. But I don't know why you'd want to get rid of Hartley. He's done all right this weekend, and probably for the last couple of weekends. And
our last podcast, Stuart Webber called him one of the worst drivers he'd ever seen, or some equivalent. But there we go.
Does Stuart Webber not realise he's a world champion?
Yeah, but at what?
There are other forms of motor racing.
Is he about to talk about endurance racing? I think Callum's about to talk about endurance racing. If you had it on your bingo cards at home, listeners, tick it off.
Okay, well, go on,
sorry,
Phil.
Sorry. Just a point there, Perez is now in P3 over Ocon. He got that in the first corner melee there that went on. So hopefully that can create a bit of fun there for P3, with Verstappen just behind in fifth. So that's boding well for this race being interesting.
Of course, I will say there, actually, I did them a disservice when I was talking about them lining up on the grid, because Perez has been at the sharp end before when he raced for McLaren. They were still a competitive car that year. I mean, he wasn't the most competitive driver in it, but he wasn't, you know, way, way, way down the grid. It was a car that you could put in some serious mix-it-up laps. So I apologise there. I did check a bit of a disservice.
There is a Williams in the points.
Oh, tell me it's not Lance.
No, it's Rotkin.
That's fine. Wow, just seeing another replay of the start. That is... Yeah, there's further contact up with... This is it, and now they're showing the Roman. This is... I thought it was really similar. That was 2012. My brain almost got that. So our first trip to Spa on the podcast, that was... As in, we didn't go, but as in, we did a podcast on it. 2012 was our first season.
Yeah, that's right. Our first race was Barca.
I saw something the other day saying most podcasts don't manage to get... Well, they start to struggle after 7 episodes. We've been going 7 years. I love that.
They're trying to fix Danny Rick's car. He's lost his rear wing, but they're trying to fix it, which is an incredible effort.
It is. And in fairness, we're still under a safety car, so they might have the time.
3 laps. Easy.
He can make that up. You
under
never know.
Car, they'll let him unlap himself.
Exactly. What, 3 times?
Well, that's what the rules say. He can unlap himself.
Get around, doesn't it?
Well, if he goes full pelt under a safety car, that'd be good going. So we're back. Lap 23. Vettel's just come in. He's just going to come in ahead of Verstappen and Hamilton.
We thought it was going to be tighter than it was. It was not that tight.
It wasn't that tight.
No.
But...
1.9. Hamilton's gained 1.9 with the undercut.
And he's now going to overtake Verstappen.
And he's got to admit, I understand he's got the advantage of having an extra lap under his belt, knowing where those new braking points are. Seb, I can imagine it's going to come to him fairly quick, but still, that first lap on those new tyres, maybe he's a little more hesitant.
Now, Callum, you're much quicker than all of us lot, so you were saying that maybe Lewis should have pitted earlier?
So around lap 18 or 19, the gap between Vettel and Verstappen was, I think, 17 seconds. And of course, you need about 18 for a stop. So if you pit Hamilton then, you're really putting Ferrari under pressure, because they have the dilemma of whether or not they want to pit and cover off Hamilton and potentially have the nuisance of clearing Verstappen, or do they clear Verstappen and risk being overtaken by Hamilton? So with what we've seen, with how big the undercut was, Hamilton probably would have been ahead had Ferrari taken the decision to clear Verstappen. Although DRS is quite powerful, and the Ferrari is very quick on the straights, so it probably wouldn't have been too difficult for Vettel to get past. That being said, you need to force your chances, and Mercedes just haven't.
Great stuff, Callum. I'm glad your brain works quickly. We're obviously loving the fact that Romain Grosjean is ticking along in sixth. Well, I won't get Ped's opinion on that. Valtteri Bottas up to seventh now as well, given that when the safety car came in, way back when, Valtteri was not only still towards the back of the grid, he'd actually lost a place, which is not what you'd have expected from a Mercedes, stuck at the back of the grid. But he's seventh now and ticking on.
Yeah, he's ticking on nicely. He's now coming up to the crash gene, sorry, Grosjean. Bottas has just gone past him in the pits, so that's fine. So he's now got the two Force Indias points, pink team, whatever they're called now, to go past, who have both got Mercedes engines. Hopefully that'll be fairly easy.
Brilliant stuff, Phil. Roman doing a pit stop. Ped, your reaction?
We didn't f*** it up, so good work.
Beautiful work. Lap 24, ticking along. Let's see what else we get.
Sebastian Vettel wins the Belgian Grand Prix by quite a big margin in the end over Lewis Hamilton. He closes the gap in the world championship.
That's exactly what you wanted to hear as you turned that bit on, wasn't it? By quite a big margin. And it was,
I think, yeah, Ben Edwards said it right. He won it by quite a big margin. Not a lot happened after the first six laps, did it, Ped?
Not really, no. I don't know what more you want from me. It didn't. You know, there was no scope for it. You know, changeable weather conditions, potential safety car, Bottas carving through the field. Yeah, did a good job there. Nothing really came off that we thought that would really turn this thing on its head. So it wasn't thrilling. Company made it an enjoyable watch, though. Thanks, chaps.
Yeah, cheers. Well done, Phil, for getting in the... Monster Munch, pickled onion flavour.
Yeah, excellent. That's key to every trip in the pub. It is.
Callum, they haven't even finished racing. Give us your verdict.
It was all right. The first few laps were a bit of everything. And to be honest, after the pit stops, there was really nothing to it. I was a bit surprised that Bottas didn't get past Perez quite as quickly as you would expect. But then again, I suppose with every other overtake in the race, it was one car with another car that had quite a big power discrepancy between the two. So yeah, it was sort of still quite easy with the DRS, annoyingly. But yeah, quite a straightforward race overall.
Yeah, it didn't really feel like Lewis was busting a gut to get past Sebastian. I think he was reasonably happy. He didn't hear him even complaining on the radio, to be honest. No one could be a...
We barely saw Seb or Lewis in the second half of the race. Both were quite happy with where they finished. Lewis is still leading the championship. It just makes the rest of the season quite interesting as far as that goes.
Yeah, tease it up nicely, and of course they're off to Monza next. Sebastian Vettel's got the Ferrari flag. He's waving it around his head, which is nice. The one probably most dramatic thing we've just seen is the shot of Charles Leclerc's car and the damage on it, but also the halo and the scuff marks on that. And that does make you think, okay, well, if that hadn't have been there, that could have been a lot worse, and maybe not, wouldn't have been joking about it so much.
No, it's a fair point. Whether you like the halo or not, whether you think it improves the aesthetics of the car or not, it doesn't. But whether you feel that way or not, it's serving a purpose. We've seen that purpose served today. I mean, it's like an insurance policy. You hope you never have to use it, but when you do use it, you're glad you've got it. So
Martin Brundle's about to do the interviews with us. That's always good. Well, just a little plug then. We will do much more on the news around the summer break, and of course the first Formula One Grand Prix since his return. It's just finished the Belgian Grand Prix on our Patreon podcast, our latest Patreon podcast, which you can catch. Just visit patreon.com/NRF1 right after this pod, and you'll be able to find all the details of how you can listen, subscribe, and follow us there.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
So, immediately after the race, this is pretty raw, but we're going to go straight in and do our usual housekeeping. It is, of course, our time for our Of the Weekend awards. So let's start off with our Rodolfo Gonzalez, the driver of the weekend, who shone. In terms of drivers, Ped?
I'd probably go Max. You know, it's as close as a home race as we've got for him, you know, at the moment. So,
that roar, by the way, when he just did his post race interview.
Oh, they love him.
The grid.
Oh, they bloody love him. Yeah, and rightly so. He's a hell of a driver, exciting young chap. Navigated the drama at the first corner really, really well. Put some good moves on in the early stages. Got past the Racing Point Force India F1 team cars. And just did really, really well. I think he was a very solid driver, and he gets mine of the weekend.
Romain Grosjean finished seventh, though.
Don't give a
Probably say on balance, probably Perez. Mostly because he wasn't that far behind Ocon in qualifying anyway. But you have to take into account that Sunday is where the points are. And he's, in the end, scored, what, the fifth most points of anyone else? So to do that in the Force India is perhaps a little bit fortuitous, considering that the likes of Raikkonen were not even in the race, or Ricciardo. But even so, putting those two ahead of him, seventh is still a win if you're in the midfield.
Beautiful, Callum. Phil?
Bottas gained 13 points from the start, which is obviously fairly predictable with him being in the Mercedes. Verstappen done well for third, but again, that season the Red Bull, he perhaps maybe should be doing that. Grosjean finished the race, so great, well done.
In the points.
Yeah, but still, the start of this race was so great. Just to pick a driver of that, it was great because so much went on in the first six laps. The rest of the race kind of went a bit to kind of plan after a lot of drivers had gone out.
Team of the weekend is the other one we like to say. Now, how does the constructors' standings look, Phil, if you can find them? Because I'm a bit confused now. Because, of course, I guess we've got Force India off of before the summer break and Racing Point Force India.
Second Williams, though.
Well, both are. Now, Williams have got Williams are now 11th in a 10-team championship. So that's not great, is it? But I guess that old Racing Point Force India are probably... ahead of a few teams that they shouldn't be.
Where is it on here? Results? Championship stands. Here we go. Scroll down, Phil.
They haven't updated it yet.
No, still not updated.
Points and Force India, so that's just confusing, isn't it? But they'll be definitely ahead of Williams and probably ahead of Sauber, possibly. I don't know. No, maybe not quite ahead of Sauber. Probably.
They've just scored what? 18 points?
I guess we should make them our team of the weekend just because of everything they've gone through.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Lovely. Pastor Maldonado of the weekend, who f***ed it up.
Hülkenberg's brakes went AWOL in the first corner, and he shunted into Alonso, and Alonso went flying and everything like that. So, I mean, you could easily put it on him, but how much of that was actually his fault? How much of it was the car?
A lot happened in the race in terms of major errors either, did it? It was just nothing.
You could tell it was Renault's brake by wire because the front's locked up, so they were working fine, but the rears weren't, which is controlled by BBW, so it's going to be Renault's errors department, I would have thought.
We'll label them then.
If you refer you back to Callum's astute observation during the race of the Mercedes pit crew, who could have brought Lewis in a little bit earlier to maybe put Ferrari under a bit more pressure. So maybe an honorary mention to them.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing that Mercedes didn't. They seem to be a bit happy to settle for it, maybe, but there we go.
Yeah, I think they were just happy with Lewis finishing second and still finishing the weekend ahead of Sebastian in the Drivers' Championship.
which is a bit disappointing, but there we go, Monza next. And our Giuliano Salvi moment of the weekend, I guess we'll just give it to the start and be done with it.
I'm going to give it to the specific point of the start where the halo did its job. That, I think, for me is the moment of the weekend, because, as we said, love it or hate it, it validated itself right there. That car could have come down on Charles Leclerc's head. It didn't. You can thank the halo for that. So that, for me, was a very validating moment for that design feature.
After the race, we saw the damage to the halo. You see the paint clearly taken off that, and that's not done through a little brush with anything. That's a serious impact on there, and it's stopped Charles Leclerc having a very serious injury.
Spot on. And then, of course, we like to rate the races out of 11, obvs. What did Spa get last year? 7 out of 11. I'm not going to give it that high this time, I don't think. I'm going to go first and say 6. Sorry, Ben.
I hate you. It is a 6. It's a solid 6.
6.5.
6 1/16.
Are you going to have to decimalise that for me? What's that? 6.1?
One and a bit, yeah.
Well, let's
0.0 something, isn't
6.0,
it?
0.0, yeah. We'll say 6.1, Phil, and we'll leave it there. Top man, well done. Brilliant stuff. And now, don't forget, you can catch all our key NRF1 podcasts by subscribing via your podcast player of choice to, and the link is nrf1.uk/podsubscribe. They should all be there, all the links you need. And of course, if your link isn't there, let us know, or send us any email you like. We love reading them. nrf1podcast@gmail.com is the address. And if you're listening and are subscribed via iTunes, why not rate and review us? We love getting those, so please do that. nrf1.uk/is on iTunes. So this is normally where we'd do a bit of preview chat and all that sort of stuff, but we've obviously elongated the pod slightly by watching the race live, which was lots of fun. Richard Baxter has done us some commentary, so I think he did still do it anyway, so we'll get that in the Patreon podcast. Likewise, we'll do our predictions for Italy in the Patreon podcast as well. But just briefly, Callum, Monza coming up really quickly. It's back-to-back races to get us all up and going. I mean, we really don't know what we're going to get in terms of the driver lineup, do we? It could be all over the place come Monza.
Well, yeah, the rumour is that Stroll's going to go to Force India and hell is going to be unleashed thereafter.
Which, of course, you did mention at the start of the podcast. In terms of Monza in the championship battle as well, Ferrari, Sebastian Vettel's, you know, effectively his home Grand Prix in terms of the team and all this sort of stuff, and still a real genuine chance that Ferrari can walk away with two championships this year. So it feels like it could be quite a key weekend in the season.
Yeah, and you would have thought with the size of their engine advantage, you would have believed that they've got a decent chance at a 1-2 if Raikkonen really turns up. But yeah, they're definitely favourites to their home Grand Prix.
Looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, it's going to be fantastic. We'll just watch that first domino fall and then just see what happens after that.
In the race and before it, probably, with the driver's market. Brilliant stuff. One thing you're looking forward to at Monza, Phil?
To see what crowd is bigger, the Ferrari or the Max crowd. Yeah.
That was an impressive Max crowd today. Fair play to all the Max fans at Spa. We are desperate to join you one year. It's definitely on our list. And then we'll do this podcast from the track.
Live from the track. Oh, imagine that.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. Brilliant stuff. Right, I think we're going to call it quits there. So we will do our predictions for Monza. As I said, they will be in our Patreon podcast. We'll also update the Fantasy League team, probably. We might just leave it. Let it carry on. That's probably working for my personal Fantasy League team. And we'll have a little bit of a chatter around all the other subjects that we've probably missed. There's probably quite a few of them. As I said, you can listen to that podcast and all our bonus podcasts throughout the season by just visiting patreon.com/nrf1. You'll be able to find all the details out there. But for now, first and foremost, a massive thank you to the Fat Cat and Canary on the outskirts of Norwich, and to Christian, the barman. He's done a top job here, hasn't he, Phil? Thank you for organising it, Phil. Maybe we'll do this again. I'm thinking, you know, season climax and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think that'd be excellent. We can do this again. I've had a great time. I hope you guys have as well.
Absolutely, top stuff. And we have Monster Munch and beer.
Yeah, Christian's done a great job putting the race on for us. Well, happy.
Good stuff, brilliant stuff. And of course, thanks to Phil. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks, Callum.
Thank you.
Cheers, Ben.
Pleasure.
We will be back then with our Patreon edition podcast. You can catch that, as I said, at Patreon. In the meantime, this has been the NRF1 podcast. Thank you very much to Future Radio, of course. And we will see you on the other side, well, within a week, to review what happens in Monza. This is relentless. It's almost like we need a break. Oh. See you later. Bye.